Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The gospel lesson for today is from John, chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. This can be found on page 1066 of your pew Bible. Jesus declares that those who believe in him will experience abundant life, both now and throughout eternity. A reading from John, chapter 11, beginning with the 17th verse. Now when Jesus came, he found that Nazareth had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, Son of God, who is coming into the world." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
After 18 years of living in the fast-paced, somewhat competitive town of Greenwich, Connecticut, I embarked on a new journey to a new home, a place much different than here. In fact, at times it felt like I had moved to another planet. That place? New Orleans, Louisiana, a place full of incredible music, delicious food, and welcoming people. And while I loved my time there, the slower southern pace of life was quite the adjustment. I was told on several occasions that I drove like a New Yorker, that I walked way too fast, and at times I came off too intense. Well, this culture clash came to a head one day at the grocery store. My Northeasterner brain had this incredible plan to efficiently grab what I needed and get out of there fast. Now, I don't know if this is a me thing or a Greenwich thing, but I'm constantly trying to beat my personal record for the quickest time to do anything. It doesn't matter. I just want to do it quick. And the plan at first was going great. I was on track to beat my record. That is, until I got to the checkout line. It was the after work grocery rush, so I analyzed all the lines and I picked the one that I thought would move the quickest. And it did. Up until the woman right in front of me started to load her groceries at a snail's pace. And what made things even worse is that she started to talk to the cashier the whole time, which slowed down her time even more. Each item she pulled out from the cart came with a story. And in those long, grueling moments, I learned her favorite Triscuit flavor. I learned why she was buying more eggs than usual this week, and other facts about this woman's life. Now, I will be the first to admit, I am bad at waiting. And my dear friends, if you found yourself growing frustrated at this woman in the checkout line, I hate to be the one to break it to you this morning, but you too are bad at waiting. And now, 10 years since that day in that grocery store line, it is even more clear to me that life is full of waiting. And oftentimes, that period of waiting is longer than just a few minutes. We wait minutes, weeks, months, sometimes even years for things to change in our lives. And we wait for things that are bigger than checking out at the grocery store. We wait to finally receive good news from the doctor. We wait for a job opportunity to come our way. We wait for the brokenness in ourselves, the brokenness in our world, to finally be restored. We wait. And for those of us who struggle with waiting, maybe you've asked yourself, where is God in all of this? If we know we have a Heavenly Father who loves us so deeply, who created us, who has a good plan for our lives, have you ever just looked around and thought to yourself, how is this the plan? Well, we're continuing our series this morning titled Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. Last week, Pastor Richard preached on the way, and today we are picking up in the book of John where Jesus will reveal that he is the life. And we enter into a story this morning that begins with waiting. Earlier in the chapter, we find out that Lazarus, sibling to Martha and Mary and good friend of Jesus, is sick. Well, news travels to Jesus that he's sick and he travels to see them, but we're told that Jesus doesn't immediately come running. Look with me at verse 17. It says, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days." 4 days. 4 days of Lazarus being dead in the tomb. Imagine what those 4 days must have felt like for Martha and Mary, who had just lost their brother. Anyone who's lost a loved one knows how painful the grief of the first few days can be. It's the all-encompassing, can't eat, can't sleep type of grief when someone you love dies. Those 4 days must have felt like a lifetime of waiting for Jesus to arrive. And by that third day, they might have started to think that Jesus is running late. Maybe he got lost on the way or got sidetracked on his journey, because by the time he arrives, the family has already placed Lazarus in the tomb. Lazarus's body has already started to decompose, and according to Judaic law, by day 4, the spirit was no longer with the body. There was no hope of resuscitation. Lazarus is dead. I'm sure a few days earlier, when Martha and Mary first notified Jesus that Lazarus was sick, they were trying to prevent this very thing from happening. So when Jesus finally shows up, look what Martha says to Jesus in verse 21. She says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." In other words, Martha is saying, "Jesus, where were you? I thought you loved me. Where were you?" I found myself muttering similar words through angry tears and long prayers. When I first gave my life to Jesus in college, I had really hard conversations with God, wondering where he'd been my whole life. Side note, if you don't think that miracles happen today, Jesus found me, someone who did not grow up in a Christian home, when I was in college in New Orleans. Miracles happen today, and Jesus can get anyone's attention. But it made me question, why now? Why was it finally part of the plan to capture my attention now? I remember thinking to myself, it would have been really nice, Jesus, if I had known you were with me when I was living with a parent struggling with substance abuse. It would have been really comforting, Jesus, to know you were with me when my family was bouncing from house to house because we couldn't afford rent. If you loved me, where were you? Have you cried out a similar question before? Have you ever questioned if Jesus was running late in your own life? Have you even thought, maybe I have been forgotten this time? Me too. And if you are going through a period of mourning or a period of waiting, I'm sorry. I know it's been hard. And even if you can't see it right now, like I couldn't see it all those years when I was growing up, Jesus is right there with you. In fact, years after I first became a Christian, fast forward to my 20s, I remember one day I was having some alone time with God, and I heard him say, I've been with you this whole time. The things that you're waiting for, Jesus is walking with you through all of them. Even knowing that, that still doesn't answer the question, why did Jesus wait to see Lazarus? And why does he wait now? Actually, I think we get our answer earlier in the text when Jesus first learns that Lazarus is sick. It says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Because Jesus loves us, he sometimes allows us to wait. And if that doesn't make complete sense to you, you know, I think this is one of the things that we're really not going to fully understand this side of eternity. In fact, I think us mere humans probably couldn't even understand if Jesus handed us a roadmap of our entire life right now. But that's the beauty of faith, right? Even when things don't make sense to us, we know that we are firmly and securely in the hands of a good God who has things under control. But even knowing that, we have a good God in control, why is waiting so hard? Well, the answer is in the question. God is in control. Which means that we are not in control. And relinquishing control to God is hard. Sometimes, most times, we don't want to surrender to God's plan for our lives. We want to take the reins back of our own lives and write our story the way it should go. Especially when our timing doesn't quite match God's timing. We really want to reach over and take control, just to make a few edits. And this control thing we have, it goes beyond Greenwich, Connecticut. Even though I think we, as a community, really excel at trying to take control of things. But this control thing goes all the way back, and I mean all the way back, to Adam and Eve. Think back to Adam and Eve in the garden. Do you think they had any problems waiting? No. No, if God told them, wait right here for 10 days, they would have done it no problem. Why? Because sin hadn't crept into the world just yet. You see, it's our sin that tells us that we can write a better story than the story that God has written out before us. We have such a limited view of our situations. We have an imperfect recollection of the past. We have a limited view of the present. And we can sometimes guess what's going to happen tomorrow, but none of us are 100% sure. It is my sin that thinks my timeline is better than God's, who has existed before the creation of the universe and will continue to exist forever, who sees the entirety of the path he has created for you and for all of human history. When we listen to that whisper in our ear that tells us to take control, to stop trusting God for our plan, we miss out on the greater things that come with God's timing. Although you may not see it, God has something greater for you. Amen. Something even better than your plan. All right, so some of you may be looking around at your circumstances and thinking, there's really no way that's true. I'm sorry, Lauren. But Jesus actually tells us this morning his better plan in our text today. A plan better than anything you or I could ever create. In verse 25, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus had a bigger plan for Lazarus that day. He didn't want to just heal a man from a sickness. He wanted to raise a man from the dead. Amen. Amen. Through this miracle, Jesus shows us his glory, his power, and his control over everything, even death. Amen. And this plan wasn't just to raise one person from the dead. Jesus had an even greater plan than that. He had a plan to rescue all of humanity. Friends, Jesus wants to do more in your life than just to fix things. He wants a full-on resurrection of your life. You remember that need for control almost all of us have? That's just one of the many sinful ways we stray from God. And you know where that path leads us without Jesus? Scripture is clear. Death. It leads to death. It leads to a severed and disconnected relationship with God and with one another. That's where it leads us. But Jesus shows us through today's text that even those of us who are 4 days in the tomb can be raised to life again. Jesus on the cross took all the sin of the world, yours, mine, everyone's, and died with it. And when he conquered death and rose again, he proved once and for all that he is in control of all things, over life and over death. And because he took our sin, we're now reunited with the Father and have access to this resurrection life with God. Jesus is the life. And he wants us to receive this eternal life that only he can provide. This life Jesus has given us doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be materially wealthy. It doesn't mean that our time on earth is going to be free of trials or periods of waiting. It doesn't even promise us another day on earth. What this life that Jesus has promised us, it's the promise of eternity. When you accept this gift of life from Jesus, you have something that can never be taken away from you. No matter what you do or what is done to you, no matter what life throws at you, you are forever with Jesus. And here's the incredible part of this life. This resurrection life doesn't just start when our time on earth is over and we get to eternity. This eternal and abundant life begins the second we come to Jesus and declare him as our Savior, and it goes through all eternity. And receiving this gift is actually quite simple. Let me remind you what we're told in Romans 10:9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The only way to receive this abundant resurrection life that Jesus wants to give you is to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Friends, what we bring to the table in our relationship with Jesus, it's death. It's sin. But look what Jesus gives us in return. And Jesus, in the story this morning, did not just tell Martha what resurrection life is. He gives her the opportunity to receive it with one simple question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And Jesus is asking all of us this same very question this morning. Do you believe this? If you would like to receive this resurrection life this morning, maybe for the first time, or anyone who wants to declare that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have an opportunity to answer that question from Jesus. I'm going to reread the powerful words from Jesus and then follow up by asking you, do you believe? And if you want to respond today, we can use the words from Martha. You can repeat her words to declare your faith this morning. Jesus, this morning, is saying to each one of you right now, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you, Stanwich Church, believe this?
Yes.
Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Amen. Jesus, friends, is the life. And instead of the death we deserve, we are gifted resurrection life now and forever. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.